أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Quran Reflection number 5. With suicide on a rise, I thought it would be very appropriate to reflect on this ayat of Quran. In Surah 94, Ayat 6, indeed with hardship will be ease. Let's try to reflect on this ayat. Sometimes it can be a very hard thing to think about. We should try to think about those who are struggling with depression. Maybe even ourselves have or are struggling with it. Have you ever been in a situation that seems so unbearable, but then Allah places ease for you? How can we help others to realize that there is ease after hardship? Let's reflect. The tafsir on this ayat is that it was revealed to the Holy Prophet in a time where he was in grief and in difficulties and in trouble with the disbelievers. The ayat was revealed so that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remember that there was always ease and comfort after those hardships. The Muslims will not continue with the same form of poverty forever. Eventually, it would end. Some of the commentators have rendered these verses into a general financial poverty of Muslims at the beginning of Islam. The broadness of the meaning of the verses envelops all the difficulties. These two verses are stated in a style which shows that they are not alluded only to the Holy Prophet ﷺ himself or his time. This means that it is for all people, all the believers, all humanity in some form and at all times. Allah always provides a solution, a way out, a relief. It is the glad tidings of promise of Allah that enlightens the heart, makes it hopeful for the triumph, and clears man's soul of the dirt of its hopelessness. So some hadith. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has been reported to have said, "Do know that surely with hardship comes ease, and surely with patience comes victory, and surely with distress comes relief." There is a tradition from Hazrat Ali alayhi salam which says that a woman complained about her husband to Hazrat Ali alayhi salam, that he did not provide anything for her, but it was in the case that he was indeed poor. Hazrat Ali alayhi salam withheld imprisoning him and advised her to patience. Replied to her, "Surely with hardship comes ease." So, one of those hardships that we see nowadays and has impacted quite a bit of people and quite a bit of our own ummah is depression. So, what is depression? Some people state it as a dark cloud over top of them, meaning they can never get away to see the sunlight. Also, others say it is a state of sadness, no matter what. This means that you're not always happy, and then a little issue comes along and you become a little sad. This isn't depression. Depression is something that actually impacts a person all day, every day. And even though there's some highs and lows to people's depressions, they still are having a sense of sadness to them. It also can include anxiety. They withdraw from things that they used to like. So a person that wasn't depressed at one point may have liked sports, may have liked watching some kind of TV or doing some kind of reading. But then all of a sudden, something will happen in their life. Usually it's a big issue that has happened in their life that has impacted them, and they become depressed, and then they start to withdraw from these things. Feeling tired, all the time or quite a bit of the day feeling tired. Even if they have sufficient enough sleep, they are still tired. Feeling moody, so the mood swings will go up and low. They could be angry at one point, they could be crying at another point, or they could be just sitting there like zombies. Feeling ill. So there's a correction in here. And that's like a sense of illness. Some people will feel like they're sick to their stomach. They feel like they're going to vomit. Or just a sense of feeling like maybe they've got like a flu all the time or sickness, a cold all the time. Cloudy thoughts. So they can't think clearly. This is where the next one is irrational thoughts. This part with the cloudiness usually is where people will have suicidal thoughts, or they will not remember things, or maybe the irrational thoughts is where they actually go and attempt suicide. So they're irrationally thinking like the end of the world. Forgetfulness. They don't remember things. They can put something somewhere and they're not remembering it the next minute, or there's class in a certain place and they don't remember it. They start to forget things. It's everyday life forgetfulness things. Sometimes very small detail forgetting. Maybe sometimes even big details like somebody's birthday or an occasion that they're supposed to attend. And they're not remembering it because they're thinking about everything else. But it's too much. A thought that most depressed people will start to think. So as Muslims, we must always remember that this dunya was not meant for us as a permanent abode. We must always remember when going through our trial times that Allah created us and put us in this world to be tested. In Quran, we see in Surah 2, Ayat 155, "Verily, we shall put you to test with some fear and hunger and with some loss of wealth, lives, and offsprings. And O Muhammad, convey good tidings to those who are patient, who say, when inflicted by hardship, verily we are of God, and verily to Him we shall return. Upon them is the blessings of Allah and His mercy." There are innumerable miseries, such as accidents, floods, earthquakes, fires, robbery, war, riot, famine. All such things have effect upon our lives. We are being tested as how to react to them. Does not faith remain unshakable? So three types of hardship is from ourselves. This is maybe we overeat all the time and then we become ill because of it. And then we have to suffer those kind of hardships of the illnesses. And another one is from nature. So like the earthquakes or volcanoes or hail, these kind of hardships. And the third one is from others. So tyrannical things, people that are oppressing people, people that start wars with people. No matter how great our sufferings, they are not everlasting. We have to remember that. We have a sure knowledge that sooner or later, all this trouble will come to an end because our stay in this world will be terminated one day and we will transfer to another everlasting world. So as Muslims, we do believe in the hereafter. So even if we face these trials all the way to our death, we know that it's going to end. A perfect example and a perfect role model to look up to in this aspect is Bibi Zainab. She was someone that we could look up to. Her hardship was so huge and she had it until her death. And she was patient throughout all of those hardships, losing all her family members. So this was a good one to, try to reflect upon. And even though she was going through one of the worst trials, which was losing Imam Hussein alayhi salam, she stated, "I see nothing but beauty." So we can definitely take an example from Bibi Zainab. Assalamu alaikum. So Islamic remedies. We can go to a sheikh. That sheikh will guide the person to the path to Allah. Initially, the person needs to show his or her desire to serve God and humanity and show a commitment to act according to the sheikh's guidance. In his or her interaction with that sheikh, this person expresses his or her concerns to the sheikh, who then deal with these concerns by directing the individual to the goal of detachment of this world and to the presence of God. This is usually done through the Islamic daily prayers and worships with continuous invocations of prayers and the names of God to elevate the spirit. So, dhikr of Allah. And seek help through patience and prayers. And indeed, it is a difficult except for the humble submissive to Allah. We should always remember that we should be trying to gain taqwa. And in Surah 65, ayat 2-3. And whosoever has taqwa of Allah, he will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty. And he will provide him from sources he never could imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. Verily, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Indeed, Allah has set a measure for all things. So other Islamic remedies is said by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. I prefer that a mu'min wears 5 rings. The aqiq, to reject poverty. The firuz, to relieve their issues. A yakut, to relieve depression. A hadith, to help them overcome the enemies. And dur of najaf, to ease their activities. So I wanted to make a note here about the Islamic treatment of psychological disorders. So in the Europeans in the medieval periods who viewed mental illness as demon related, Muslim scholars of that time, including Ibn Sina, also known as Avicenna, the founder of the modern medicine, rejected such concepts and viewed mental disorder as conditions that were psychologically based. The establishment of the first psychiatric ward was in Baghdad, Iraq, in 705 CE by Al-Razi, one of the greatest Islamic physicians. This was the first psychiatric hospital in the world. According to Al-Razi's view, mental disorders are considered medical conditions and are treated by psychotherapy and drug treatment. So a lot of people will think that true depression is like jinn related. They've been possessed. And this is not the correct view. True depression is something that needs to be sought out by professional team, the doctors. One who is feeling depressed, or if you know someone with depression, definitely get them some help. It's not something that you can overcome. A sense of like sadness or anything like that can definitely get over it by faith, by learning about faith and going towards Allah and having taqwa in Allah. There was a beautiful teaching from Quran that I thought that I would share in this last little piece before I do a dua. The teachings is the story of Ayyub in Surah 21, ayat 83. And remember Ayyub when he cried to his Lord, "Verily distress has seized me, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy." Came the answer, of Allah in Surah 21, Ayat 84. So he answered his call and removed the distress that was on him, and he restored his family to him and the like thereof along with them as a mercy from ourselves and a reminder for those who worship us. So we can see that Prophet Ayub went through a lot of stress and a lot of hardships, and though he was patient and then he seeked Allah for relief, Allah gave him that relief. But because of all of his patience, because he was known as a patient prophet, he was also given more than just restore of his health and his family. He was given even more than that. So the last part of this, I wanted to do a dua. It was from Sahifa Sajadiyah. And this dua is for hardships. So I thought that anybody who wanted to continue to watch and do the dua with me, I will do it in English. And inshallah, Allah will accept our dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. O Allah, Thou hast charged me concerning myself with that which belongs more to Thee than to me. Thy power over it and over me is greater than my power. So give me in myself what will make Thee pleased with me. And take for thyself thy good pleasure in myself's well-being. O Allah, I have no endurance for effort, no patience in affliction, no strength to bear poverty. So forbid me not my provision, and entrust me not in thy creatures. But take care of my need alone, and thyself attend to sufficing me. Look upon me and look after me in all my affairs. For if thou entrustest me to myself, I will be incapable before myself and fail to undertake that in which my best interest lies. If thou entrustest me to thy creatures, they will frown upon me. And if thou makest me restored to my kinsfolk, they will refuse to give to me. If they give, they will give little. And in bad temper, make me feel long, obliged, and blaming me much. So thou thy bounty, O Allah, free me from need. Thou thy mightiness, lift me up. Thou thy boundness, boundless. Plenty, open my hand, and with that which is with thee, suffice me. O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household. Rid me of envy, encircle me against sins, make me abstain from things unlawful, give me not the boldness of disobedient acts, assign me love for that which is with thee, and satisfactions with that which comes to me from thee, bless me in that which thou provideth me, that which thou confers upon me, and that thou which thou favorest me, and make me in all my states safeguarded, watched, covered, defended, given refuge, and granted sanctuary. O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household, and let me accomplish everything which thou hast enjoined upon me or made obligatory for me toward thee, in one of the ways of thy obedience, or toward one of thy creatures. Thou, my body be too frail for that, my strength be feeble, my power not able to reach it, and my possession and what my hands owns not encompass it. And whether I have remembered it or forgotten it, my Lord, is among that which thou hast counted against me while I have been heedless of it in myself. Let me perform it through thy plentiful giving and the abundance which is with thee. For thou art boundless, generous, so that nothing of it may remain against me, lest thou wouldest wish to settle accounts for it from my good deeds, or to compound my evil deeds on the day I meet thee, my Lord. O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household, and provide me with desire to serve thee for the sake of my state in the hereafter, such that I know the truthfulness of that desire in my heart, be dominated by renunciation while in this world, do good deeds with yearning, and remain secure from evil deeds in fright and fear, and give me a little whereby I may walk among the people, be guides in the shadows, and seek illumination in doubt and uncertainty. O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household, and provide me with the fear of the threatened gloom and yearning for the promised reward, such that I may find the pleasure of that for which I supplicate thee, and the sorrow of that which I seek sanctuary in thee. O Allah, thou knowest what will set my affairs right in this world and in the next. So be ever gracious towards my needs. O Allah, bless Muhammad and Muhammad's household, and provide me with that what is thy right when I fall short in thanking thee for that which thou hast favored me in ease and difficulty, health and sickness, such that I may come to know in myself repose and satisfaction and serenity of a soul in that which thou hast made incumbent upon me, in whatever states may occur, fear and security, satisfaction and displeasure, loss and gain. O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household, and provide me with the breast safe from envy, such that I envy none of thy creatures and in anything of thy bounty, and such that I see none of thy favor toward any of thy creatures in religion of this world. Well-being, revental, fear, plenty, or ease, without hoping for myself better than it thou it through, and from thee alone, who hast no associate. O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household, and provide me in this world and in the next with caution against offenses and wariness against slips in the state of safe satisfaction and wrath, such that I may remain indifferent towards that which enters upon me from the two states. Work toward thy obedience and prefer it and thy good pleasures over all the else in both friends and enemies. When my enemy may stay secure from my wrongdoings and injustice, and my friends may despair of my inclinations and the bent of my affection, make me one of those who supplicate thee with sincerity in ease, with the supplication of those who supplicate thee with sincerity in distress. Verily thou art praiseworthy, glorious. Amin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And that ends this part of the Quran reflection. Indeed, with hardship comes ease.